Oh, the love of the Lord, huh? We do praise the Lord for his love and his mercy. So thankful that we know where we can come to and bring these requests. Such a blessing to be able to come before the throne of grace with these requests and know that he'll answer them according to his will. Okay, so let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. I'm going to read 35 through 39, but I'm not going to go through all of it tonight. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, who are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says up in 38, I am persuaded. Paul says he's persuaded because he means by faith he is persuaded. I just thought I'd say that. I don't know why. Anyway, so my topic tonight is who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I got thinking about this, and I don't know why, but I did. The Lord gave me a thought about it, and I started reading about it. And we're only going to look at the first verse tonight, and if the Lord willing, or the Holy Spirit decides, then we'll go on through this maybe next week and look at some of these other things here. The Apostle Paul is plainly referring to the persecutions and tribulations to which genuine believers were and are exposed to through their attachment or their spiritual walk with Christ. The closer we walk with our Lord Jesus, the more Satan comes against us. We all know that, of course. So it's very important to stay in the Word of God. And we see, of course, the provisions of God's amazing grace for us and towards us in Christ Jesus. You know, these scriptures also show God's infinite love for us. If you read into them what it says and about the love of Christ, God's love is a deep love that he has for us. It's so deep that it was before the foundation of the world. Kind of hard to comprehend as human beings or in the natural, but God sees things way far and advanced than we'll ever see. These scriptures also, God's infinite love for us, in Christ is our sin offering. I'm just going to turn to, you can just listen if you want, Galatians 2:20. And I really like, everybody knows it, so I'll just read it. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Right? Our sin offering. He gave himself for us. You know? And as we continue, we see also, he speaks here of our love as followers of God in Christ who first loved us. See, God first loved us before we ever loved God. Before we even knew who God was, he loved us. If we were babies and we weren't able to talk as a baby and in a young age at that age of birth, God loved us then. God loved us way before we were even created. I think that this, you know, in John, 1 John 4:19, it says, we love him because he first loved us, right? He first loved us, so we love him. But think about it. We love him because he first loved us. He loves everybody. All of his creation. The problem is, people choose not to love him. Sad. So I think the way Paul states his question and our topic, who shall separate us from the love of Christ, here is not who shall separate the love of Christ from us, but who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ, right? From us. Paul makes quite a list of things here in the in his first verse. We're going to go through some of these. We're going to go through all of them. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. I just got some definitions that I had read and come across. And they're, you know, most of it, everybody knows what they mean. But some of them are kind of interesting, I guess. Tribulation, number one. Grievous afflictions. Now we know it says grievous. That means it's grieving to the one that's afflicted. And this tribulation that comes upon people is in different degrees, as we know. Different people are afflicted different ways, in different margins, in different depths, and so forth. We also know that tribulation will come upon this earth, and it will be more than a grievous affliction. It's going to be in the end times. We won't be here. Praise the Lord, we won't. Number two is distress. And I really love this part of what I'm going to read about distress. We all know what distress is, right? But it says, being hemmed in on every side without escape. So see, now if you're stressed about something, okay, and you feel like you're just in this spot, and everything on all four sides of you just closes in, and the more you stress about the distress, it closes in more and more. So what's going to happen eventually, it's going to squeeze you pretty hard. I just think that being hemmed in on every side, that's distress can really be something very harmful to you. And I think that, but where do we go when we're distressed? When we feel like we're hemmed in on every side and there's no escape, there is an escape through prayer to our Lord. We cry out to our Lord. He gives us a way to escape from this distress. He takes it away from us. Number three, persecution. Now, we know what this one means, but we'll say to pursue as an enemy uses in order to overtake that he might destroy him. Right? That he might destroy him. Who does that sound like? Our adversary, Satan. The enemy will do anything he can to destroy you. He'll do anything he can to destroy any thoughts you have of the Lord. Have you questioned the Lord? Where you're at with the Lord? I mean, it just goes on and on. I don't know. He's good at his job, I guess. But but we know where to go, and that's to our Lord. Number four, famine. We know what famine is, right? It's a scarcity of food and the necessaries of life in general. But it also means to fail. And the reason why I say this is to fail spiritually. If you're not walking with the Lord and you're not seeking the Holy Spirit and you're not seeking the Word of God and you're not crying out to the Lord every day in fellowship with Him through His Word and in prayer, you're in famine. You're in a famine state. You fail spiritually. You have no spiritual food. You have no spiritual necessities that you need. The Lord has all that you need. But if you don't walk with the Lord and stay with Him spiritually, the Holy Spirit is so important for all these things. in our walk with the Lord. Number five, nakedness. Well, being totally unclothed. And there's more about that. We're not going to go into that. Six, and I want to say one thing about nakedness. We know that we are naked before God, all of us, because He sees every part of us. He sees all of us. There's nowhere we can hide. You can't think you're hiding. You can't think you're covering up something with words or whatever. No. You are totally unclothed before the Lord. Six, peril. A state of extreme danger because much evil is felt. David was in peril when this man came over to him and attacked him, basically. Whether it was physical or not, he attacked him verbally. It was a state of extreme danger to David. He felt, you know, endangered. And the reason why is because he felt the evil of this man. Well, he has his ways, but you think of peril, and you think about Paul, Apostle Paul, think of the peril that he's went through in his life, right? All through his letters, we know that Paul, in the ocean deep for days and days, and, you know, in the water, and no food, in prison, in chains, locks and everything else, you know, they just, the peril that he went through, but you know what? What did he do? He cried out to the Lord. What else did he do? He sang to the Lord. He sang songs to the Lord. He spoke to other prisoners. He just testified to the others. So that's really, it's not just stay with the Lord is all I can say. Number seven, sword. And that simply to me means slaughter. When they used a sword in their fights or their battles, that sword was a two-edged sword. And it was a big, giant sword and a heavy sword. And when they swung that thing around, they meant to kill the person that hit. So they slaughtered them. And it's no different today. Slaughter. Earlene mentioned the slaughter of people, innocent people, believers, people trying to, in the mission field, are being slaughtered, basically, by these people that are so evil and so wicked. I don't know, followers of Satan, whatever they may be, they're so evil that they just want to kill and just maim everybody and destroy people's lives. And it's really sad that's still in the world today. It was in the world then, it's in the world now. I'd like to, and sometimes when we feel like we're under slaughter or in peril, in Isaiah 43:2, I remember Jack reading this verse a few times, but in Isaiah 43:2 it says this: when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been there? When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Think about that. You know where your safety is? You know who takes care of you from all these things, these different things that are so bad? Paul was trying to point out something here. All these things should not separate us from the love of Christ. Really, in all honesty, they should bring you in a deeper love with our Lord. In 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 14 says this also. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. what he's saying, but rejoice. And I would say rejoice again, in as much as you are partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with what? Exceeding joy. We had this about Sunday, being about the joy of the Lord in your life. When his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Right? That's pretty good stuff right there, Peter comments on. I have some other scriptures I'm going to go through, and this is just concerning just some things I thought of when I looked at this. And it's really all about concerning the marvelous love that the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ has for us. And I mean, from cover to cover of this Bible is that marvelous love that our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ has for us. In Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah 31, 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Okay? Are you drawn to the Lord because of his everlasting love? I hope so. Now, we know that this is Israel in the last days, what it's speaking of, but also speaks of God's amazing love for all of us. He says an everlasting love doesn't go away. He might get a little, he might chasten us from time to time, but it's just because he loves us. The Lord loves us so much. Let's go to Psalms. See, Psalms 31. Had a couple here in Psalms here. Could have had a lot more. Psalms 31:23 says this: O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Right? Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Okay? He preserveth the faithful. Our Lord is faithful. We should be faithful for the love that he does offer us every breath we take. Psalms 103, 17. Psalms 103, 17. Maybe we'll go up to, 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon him that fear him or honor him or reverence him, and his righteousness unto what? Children's children. See, he says everlasting to everlasting, but then David writes here, his righteousness unto children's children. So it goes on and on and on and on. God's righteousness is eternal. God's righteousness is from everlasting to everlasting. We do not understand the everlasting to everlasting. We do know what it means, but we will understand it so much more when we get on the other side. We belong to God, right? So in John 10, 28 says, this is Jesus talking about in verse 25. He says, Jesus answered, I told you and believe not the works I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. Believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But he says in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What security do we have here that we know that we cannot be plucked out of our Father's hand? That is amazing to me. Simply amazing. The love that he has for us, it overwhelms me at what he says in his word. Ephesians 1:4 says, well, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, there we go, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in what? In love. And it goes on, and I'm telling you, I could read on and on, but you'll get there. You can read all of it. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7, says in verse 1 first, and you hath he quickened, or made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us, or made us alive, together with Christ, by grace you are saved. Verse 6, hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The operation of God here, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You read all that, and you got a sermon right there in the whole part of that. This is what God is doing for us, okay? Simply, if we just stay in love with Christ, in love with our Father. One more time. Well, I got a couple more. Ephesians 3. See, I had to go through Ephesians a few places because I really wanted to start in Ephesians 1 and go all through all the book of Ephesians because, and then, of course, then you got to go on to the next book and so forth. But Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 says, verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about this. He said that you may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth and length and depth and height in all directions, completely surrounded with the love of Christ. You'll be able to comprehend. We comprehend it now as all of us sit here together in fellowship around our Lord Jesus Christ. We know what the breadth and the length and depth and height is. And we know that love of Christ, it just passes all of our knowledge. It's so deep and so broad and so high and so far, it's hard for us to comprehend the love that God has for us. A deeper love. You know why? Because it's a deeper love in Christ. And I want to go, read this. Jude verse 21 says this. Kind of sums this up. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And I want to say this one thing before I got one more verse. I really believe, I was thinking about this, and this is just what I believe. This is just my, kind of my opinion here. But I believe that the one thing that can separate us from the love of Christ is simply us. Okay? Ourselves. And it's simply by not staying in fellowship with God through His Word and in His Word. You know, God loves us so much. Remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. So, you know, He loves us so much. But if we don't stay in that love, if we don't receive that love, if we don't honor that love, if we don't stay in the Word, fellowship with our Lord and our Heavenly Father, we kind of lose that love. We don't keep that great love that He has to offer for us. We want all that God has to offer for us, offer for us, all His love. He loves us so much. He's a merciful Father. In closing, I want to read in Revelation chapter 2, and I want everybody else to turn there for a minute, please. Revelation 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. I want your eyes to fall upon this. And the reason why the Lord led me to read this one is because this is what we don't want to do in verse 4. This is the letter to the church of Ephesus. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Our Lord, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, hast not fainted." Right? That's what we want to be, right? We want to labor for His name's sake and not faint. Be strong. But this is what the Lord says here. Going pretty good there for a while, till verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Why? "Because thou hast left thy first love." That first love is Jesus Christ. You have left thy first love. That's not a good place to be. And let's not leave our first love, Jesus Christ. It's very important to stay in the boundaries of that love. And it's really easy, I think, the Word of God. Stay in the Word. Pray. You know, I've thought of peril. I've been in peril. I served 2 years in Vietnam in combat. I was a radio operator in the field. Longest I spent in the field without coming back into our fire support base was 72 days in the field. Let me tell you, that's a long time without a bath or anything. And you just feel like you're never, things start to fade for you. Your family's faces, your things of home, because you're in this place and it's so evil. And, you know, people were trying to kill you and you're trying to kill them for some stupid reason. It's just to be in deep peril. And I'm going to tell you right now, every morning, if I was on last guard, which was early morning, the last guard, I prayed every morning. If I woke up and I wasn't on last guard and I woke up, the first thing I did when I woke up, I didn't do anything else. The first thing I did, well, I might have wiped my eyes, but the first thing I did was pray unto the Lord. And I just asked the Lord to be with me throughout this day. If it be His will that I be taken from this war today, by whatever means, so be it. But I always said, Lord, I'd like to be able to go home. I'd like to be taken from my home, not in this evil place. But it was the Lord's will. And every night, if I had first guard or I slept until it was my time for my little guard's time, I prayed to the Lord and I thanked Him for the day he had given me. Even if it was a bad day, if it was kind of a sick to your stomach day, I still praised him and thanked him for the Lord for the day he had given me and that he got me through that day. And so I'm telling you, the love of our Lord is miraculous. I made it home. I know a lot of people didn't, but I made it home, and the Lord had a plan for me. And I never understand why, what his plan was for me. I don't know yet, but I know that he brought me back to him. Even when I didn't walk with him at some points in time, he always was there beside me. His love is great. And he drew me to him. Always. And so I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be in this assembly with the saints here, the saints that have gone on before. And I was really, really feel so thankful that I sat under Jack's teachings and his word and Erlene's teachings and doctrine and prophecy and her preaching today and Gordon's and Bob Briner. There's been so many that have come here, fellowship meetings and things. It's just a blessing when I look back and think about it. What comes to mind is the love that our Lord has for us. And everyone that brings forth the word or a testimony or a praise offering or whatever, to me that just shows me that the love that they have for the Lord and the love that the Lord has for them to give them the boldness to speak out. So I just praise the Lord. God bless all of you.